live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. You're about to watch what we call an extended clip of the Young Turks. And the reality is it's somewhere in the middle. It's a little longer than our YouTube clips, but it's actually shorter than the whole 2-hour show, which you can get if you're a member. You can get it ad-free, and make sure you catch every news story we do that day. You're going to love it as a full show. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk Ugranek is sparing with you guys. Interesting show as always. There are three separate, fascinating, gigantic lies in this show. They're all, of course, by Republicans. It's not, of course, they could be by Democrats, but these days with Trump, etc. Right. So you got one on you got two on immigration, but a totally different immigration story. We're going to start with this in a second with Anna explaining the main one about the kids being separated. Later, though, we'll have a racist tweet from Donald Trump that has the lie buried in it, and then Roger Stone with a hilarious lie about a meeting he had with Russians. So. That's all in this program, but I tell you, the one of the main takeaways, and we're going to talk a lot about immigration today, is how the Republican Party has both lost its mind, and then like a couple of people in the party finding their mind. Just
I'm curious about those who found their mind, because yeah. It's difficult for me to decipher who you're talking about. There's a lot of craziness going on.
Yeah, well, there's some of the first ladies.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. Sort of indeed, when it comes to Republicans finding their mind. Lots to get to, obviously. All right, without further ado, Anna Kasparian.
All right. There's been a considerable amount of criticism geared toward the Trump administration following its implementation of a policy that separates children from their parents at the border, even among those who seek asylum here in the United States. Now, before we get into some of the details, some of the facts related to this story, I want to be absolutely clear about one thing. It is being reported over and over again that the only children that get separated from their families are the children who come in illegally. That is not the case. This is now being reported at ports of entry where individuals legally seek asylum. They are not entering the country illegally. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. There have also been reports, Vox is one of the news outlets that has reported this, that Border Patrol agents will attempt to block or turn away migrants as they attempt to enter through ports of entry. That is unlawful, but they're doing it anyway. So let me be clear.
Before we go any further, let me explain one quick thing. A lot of the Trump officials will come out and say, well, if you go to the port of entry as you're supposed to if you're seeking asylum, then there won't be any problems. If you're trying to cross the border illegally and then tell me you're seeking asylum, well, we're not going to buy it. We're going to prosecute you and we're going to take your kids away. Well, half of them admit that they're taking the kids away. But Anna just told you about what's happening in the ports of entry as well.
That's right. As we know, the Trump administration has been very clear about the fact that they want to clamp down not just on illegal immigration, but legal immigration. And that's what's happening at ports of entry. Now, with that said, we have some new numbers, although they are underestimated numbers of children who have been ripped away from their family members as they come into the country seeking asylum. Department of Homeland Security officials said that at least 2,000 children have been separated from their parents since it began implementing this policy in late April. Now, Raul Reyes, who is a pretty well-known immigration attorney and also a writer, has said that this number is actually very low because there are ports of entry that haven't even reported their numbers yet. So who knows how many children are currently in custody. Overall, there are about 11,000 children in custody. And those are children who either showed up unaccompanied or children who were taken from their parents as they were seeking asylum.
So the other reason they're actually higher than these reported numbers is because the reporting stopped at the end of May. So in a couple of weeks of April, when they started the policy, all of May. But June numbers are not in yet. So if it's going at the same rate, it would easily be 3,000 and then some, plus the underreporting from the ports.
Now, I want to just quickly go to a video of Jeff Sessions. And this is a video that some of you might have already seen. The reason why I'm showing it to you is because I want us to all be absolutely clear where this policy came from. This is not a law. Congress never passed a law saying that these children need to be separated from their parents. This was a policy implemented by the Trump administration, and Jeff Sessions on multiple occasions bragged about it while giving speeches. Take a look.
If you cross the border unlawfully, then we will prosecute you. It's that simple. If you are smuggling a child, then we will prosecute you. And that child may be separated from you as required by law.
These children are not entering at ports of entry, but in dangerous places, in deserts, and crossing our fences and escaping, attempting to escape law enforcement officers. We do not want to separate children from their parents. We do not want adults to bring children into this country unlawfully either, placing those children at risk. But we do have a policy of prosecuting adults. We are pursuing a zero tolerance prosecution policy at the border. Having children does not give you immunity from arrest and prosecution. Bringing children with you doesn't guarantee you won't get prosecuted. Cannot. Our policies that can result in short-term separation of families is not unusual or unjustified. We cannot and will not encourage people to bring their children or other children to the country unlawfully by giving them immunity in the process. Why wouldn't you bring children with you if you know you would be released and not prosecuted? After the policy.
So their zero tolerance policy has now detained so many children that the facilities that already existed were overcrowded beyond capacity. And so now there are tent cities popping up in Tornillo, Texas. That is the tent city that we found out about over the weekend. And there are literally children being detained in these makeshift detention facilities because of what the Trump administration is doing.
Yeah. Please, they're not tent cities, they're not cages. For the cages, they're now chain link fences, I believe.
Right.
That's some of the propaganda being used by Fox News and some of the other Republicans.
The kids are prisoners, plain and simple. There's cops everywhere, or law enforcement, I should say, everywhere. They're not allowed to leave. Here are images that were released by our federal government. These are not, you know, lovely environments where kids are thriving. I mean, they're sleeping with these, you know, foil blankets. This is not a great situation. It's clear. And I think the administration is realizing that this policy might actually backfire on them politically.
But those things that look like cages are not cages, okay, just so you know. And if you notice, Jeff Sessions said in the middle there, it's also, we're not going to let you smuggle in children. Look, if they're smuggling in children that aren't theirs, by all means, everybody in the country agrees, arrest them and imprison them for a long time after a trial and make sure you get those kids away from them. But that's not what's happening here. What's happening is it is their kids. Now all of a sudden, are you pretending that all of those families, those thousands of families that have come with their kids, they're not actually their kids, they all just grabbed a random child? I mean, add that to the list of preposterous excuses that they have used.
Right. Now, I do want to also share a photo that went viral over the weekend featuring a 2-year-old Honduran girl who's crying. She's crying because her mother is being searched by agents and she's about to be detained. The little girl later ended up in a detention facility. And there have been counselors speaking out about what's going on, because one of the more traumatic elements of all of this is that no one's allowed to console the kids. You're not allowed to hug them, you're not allowed to touch them. And I understand the reasoning behind that, but imagine being a 2-year-old child, seeing your mother get arrested by agents, and then you're sent to some strange place where you're crying and you're just kind of left alone. They can't really do anything about it.
Some of your parents are, others of course are not, but you have, I hope, human empathy. But for the parents who've had a 2-year-old who had, it's not at night when they're trying to go to sleep or whatever, but they got hurt or they're genuinely concerned. Like for a second, they feel like they lost you in a mall or something, right? And then there's this panicked cry. Imagine that no one ever comforts them. They see you being taken away and they start crying more and more hysterically. And not only can you not help them, but no one is allowed to help them. No one's allowed to touch them. And again, Anna says, it's true, we put ourselves in a no-win situation. If you got guys or people that are handling the kids, that's problematic. You got two-year-olds, four-year-olds, et cetera, and their heart's broken. They don't know law. They don't know the.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Judicial system, and they don't know that their parents are coming back. They don't know anything, right? And no one is allowed to console them. If that's not heartbreaking, there's something wrong with you. And unfortunately, that describes a huge part of this administration.
Conservatives who are supportive of what's going on right now have absolutely no room to talk about family values ever again. Ever again. They have no room to talk about how much they care about babies and how women should be forced to bring their pregnancies to term because they're pro-life. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's the most disingenuous thing in the country at the moment, this whole notion of family values, because the very party that claims they're in favor of family values also supports this policy of ripping children away from their family members as their family members seek asylum because of violence in their own countries. I mean, it's crazy. So ProPublica, which is a fantastic journalistic organization, just released audio of a Border Patrol agent talking to a crying child. And it gives you a sense of what it's like for these kids. Now, this is a six-year-old child who actually memorized her aunt's phone number. Her mother made her memorize it in case they got separated. And she's begging the Border Patrol agent to let her go with her aunt. Listen.
Bueno, aquí tenemos una orquesta. Ella llama a tu tía si tú tienes el número y habla con tu tía.
Tengo el número de ella.
Ah, pues ahorita ella te ayuda para que hable. Ya háblate nada más.
Look, you've heard bratty kids cry because they didn't get a toy or something. And then you've heard kids with real anguish, whether they hurt themselves or they felt somehow, you know.
Scared.
Scared, yeah. Spurned, whatever it might be. For our Border Patrol agents to say, a little orchestra here, now we need a conductor. But this is what it does. This is what authoritarian government does. It forces people to do monstrous things. So we have now given orders, and they must follow those orders, to take the kids and don't care about their crying, don't help them, don't console them, don't listen to them that they want family members like their aunt. No, just put them into cages, call it a different name, and you're done with it. So they are following those orders, and that's the country we live in now.
So how do Americans feel about what's going on at the border with these detentions, with families getting separated? Well, there is a little bit of hope, because according to a recent CNN poll, 2/3 of Americans disapprove of the Trump administration's practice of taking undocumented immigrant children away from their families. Only 28% approve. But then you start looking at political parties, and of course, there is a pretty huge difference between Democrats and Republicans. Among Republicans, 58% approve of it. Again, this is the party that preaches about family values. This is the party that claims they care about, you know, the traditional family with a mother and a father and a child. They're preaching about it nonstop, judging the lives of every other American who has the audacity to live a non-traditional lifestyle. But when it comes to this, when it comes to immigrants, oh yeah, rip their kids away. I mean, I don't even have kids, but I can't understand how anyone would be okay with someone taking someone else's children away from them as that family is desperately seeking asylum, even if they're not seeking asylum. How do you justify this policy? I mean, I think it's cruel to just even turn the family back, right? But it is a lot better than taking the children away and detaining them.
Yeah. So good news, bad news out of the poll. So as Anna pointed out, 2/3 of Americans are against it. In two different polls, by the way, one conducted by SSRS on behalf of CNN, another one by Quinnipiac. They both have it at very similar numbers, around 66% saying we disapprove of this policy. Both have same numbers, 27-28% saying that they approve of the policy. So that's good. In fact, immigration is the issue where Americans most disapprove of Donald Trump, with the exception of healthcare. So those are the bottom two for Trump. Now, Trump always claims, hey, I'm doing this because this is what the American people want. No, actually, that's the issue that they disagree with you almost most of any of the issues, right? So the reason why his poll numbers are bad but not yet disastrous, although they have now dipped back into the 30s, they're down to 39%. By the way, if for any other president, don't get me wrong, that's disastrous. If Obama had ever gotten to 39%, people would have been screaming from the rooftop about how he was done and he was a lame duck president, etc. But for Trump, that's fairly normal. He's never been a popular president, never been above 45%, let alone 50%. But the one thing that's holding him at those numbers is that people think he's handling the economy well. That's where he polls the best, at 49%. Now, that's in my mind, that's a joke, because he's just riding off of what Obama did. We've shown you the graphs in the past, etc. And the tax cuts, to be fair to him, you know, some like it, others think it's a disaster down the road. We'll see how that comes out. But anyway, the point is, though, Americans do not agree with Donald Trump on immigration. And if you're not familiar with polling and politics, that's okay. Let me just tell you, I've been doing this for over two decades. 66-27. Is a monstrous number. It's an enormous number. Like that means that issue is settled if we lived in a democracy, right? So now, the bad news. Man, Republicans, I mean, this is their party. So don't, you know, the media, they'll beat up Trump. They'll do that from time to time, and they are doing it on this issue, okay? But then they'll create this imaginary line that does not actually exist. They'll say, Trump is like this, but that doesn't mean Republicans are. No, it does mean it. This is the polling. So the reason that the mainstream media will disingenuously protect Republican voters is because they think, well, that's part of our audience and we don't want to offend them and lose money, right? But the reality is, no, the Republican voters are in general as vicious as Donald Trump. That's why they picked him. That's why they're still happy with him. So 55-35 saying, yeah, rip the kids away. That sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, look, not only do Republicans support Trump, they will go out of their way to punish Republican politicians who are deeply conservative, but have the audacity to speak out against Trump in honestly the most tame way imaginable, right? Certainly in some districts, which is one of the reasons why Mark Sanford lost in the primaries. I mean, he's as conservative as can be, but because he criticized Trump, it's over for him. Anyway.
Yeah, so one more thing on this. And by the way, I said 55-35, that's Quinnipiac. In the CNN poll, it's 58% of Republicans going, yes, take the kids away. So let's talk about the political dynamics of that. If you're a Republican, well, you're going to lose your primary, like Mark Sanford, as Anna just pointed out. So you got to say, I'm sticking with Trump. I don't care what happens and what the rest of the country thinks. I don't care that two-thirds of the country thinks we're monsters. I don't care. My biggest concern in these gerrymandered districts is a primary. If I get past the primary, these districts are mostly fixed, so I can't ever lose. So I'm going to be just as vicious as the voters tell me to. And 58% of Republican voters tell me, take the kids away. So I'm going to do what they tell me. Otherwise, I'm going to get fired like Mark Sanford did. And so now the twist in that is that now Republicans are more, I don't know if the right word is right wing, more because you can't
say
more vicious because you can't say more conservative. They are now more vicious than conservatives are. So that's a twist. Hold on. Because now conservatives are normally more right wing than Republicans because there's a range of Republicans and the conservatives are the right wing ones. But no, in this case, 51% of conservatives agree, still on the wrong side, but it's a lower number than 58% of Republicans. Why? Because the Republican Party has become a cult. So if Trump says it, they say, yes, sir, absolutely, sir. I've always thought family values was taking kids away from their parents. That's what I've always thought.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Whereas some conservatives, and give them credit, like Franklin Graham and a lot of evangelical leaders who I don't agree with at all, have come out and said this is disgraceful and it's not right. So some conservatives have peeled away, but the Republican cult has stayed together even more in favor of Donald Trump. It's amazing. So if anyone on TV tells you it's not Republicans and that Trump is an aberration, it is not true. It's not backed up by the numbers. The Republicans are as vicious as their leader.
And you know, I remember a while ago, years ago, we did this story about researchers who did MRA scans of the brains of conservatives versus liberals. And what they found was that conservatives have a more active fear center in their brain. And Trump really taps into that, you know? Trump taps into the fear-mongering like crazy. These are the criminals. These are the people we need to look out for. These are the people who are harming the country. They're dangerous. He just keeps playing into that over and over again. And that type of messaging is insanely successful with the right wing in America.
The scientists that have researched this also show that emotion is a much bigger driver in decisions than logic is. So that's why we keep saying, well, Trump is lying. And we've proven it in 1,000 different ways. In this case, every once in a while says it's the Democrats' law. I mean, that is a preposterous lie. But it doesn't matter because the decision making done by the Republicans, voters in this case, is based on their emotion, not based on their logic. So they caught a feeling and the feeling was fear. Mm-hmm. That's why, again, this morning as Donald Trump is tweeting about this, MS-13, they're coming for your families. Those are the others. Who cares what we do to their kids, right? In fact, they're all criminals. They're all MS-13. And the Democrats are trying to protect them. Remember, conservatives, you're generally cowards. So I'm going to play up to that. And I'm going to say, fear MS-13. So you go, okay, take your kids away. Who cares? And you call them animals. And you dehumanize them. This is authoritarianism 101. And 58% of Republicans agree. Even if you take the lower number of Quinnipiac, 55-35 is not close. So you can say, hey, a third of the Republican Party doesn't agree with it, They're not the monsters that you're talking about. Man, 20-point gap is huge. So yes, a significant majority of the Republican Party says, take the kids away, I'm scared, and facts don't affect my feelings. My feeling is that I'm just bathed in fear, and I'll do anything to protect myself at the expense of you and your kids.
We got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will debunk numerous false claims that have been made by conservatives in the media recently in response to the immigration story. Come right back.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. You're only halfway through, so hold, stay right here. Just want to remind you, if you want to get all 5 segments of the Young Turks commercial free, these are just 2 of them. Every day we do it. So go to tytnetwork.com/join. And you get the whole 5 segments, 2 hours, ad-free. Do it now.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how you doing? Back on the Young Turks. Real quick, a couple of tweets here. Unregistered Chicano says, blame the victim is the same gag these chimps use to justify police murdering unarmed citizens with impunity. Well, I mean, he had a toy gun. We couldn't tell. Well, you might have wanted to ask him. But nope, they're going to blame the victims, as they've done 1,000 times. All Hayes could furl half, that's the name, says, it's not democracy when your vote is forced in exchange for innocent children. Trump is disgusting. Okay, we got a lot more news for you guys, so we've got to get going. All right, Anna, what's next?
A Texas deputy has been accused and charged with sexually assaulting a 4-year-old girl and then threatening her mother with deportation if she told the authorities about it. Jose Nunez is his name, and he's a 10-year veteran of the Bexar County Sheriff's Department. He faces a felony charge of aggravated sexual assault of a child. According to a press conference by authorities, the girl had been assaulted multiple times over the course of several months. And Nunez had apparently told the mother that she would be deported if she reported him to the police. But she decided to go to the authorities immediately anyway. They're working to get her protected status while this case is pending. We have conversations about criminals in America a lot these days, and oftentimes that discussion is led by the Trump administration in an effort to defame immigrants trying to come in the country seeking asylum. So let's talk about who the real criminals are in the United States.
Yeah, when you make certain people powerless, the potential for abuse goes up exponentially. So I don't know how long Nunez has been doing this. I hope they do a thorough investigation. I imagine they will, since they arrested him. And it might have been well before Trump that he started this. This might not be the only case. We don't know yet. They're looking into it. But in a situation like this, where immigrants are incredibly afraid of what might happen next, it's very easy to use that as leverage against them. Now, this is an extreme case where it's used to assault a 4-year-old and then hold that over the family's head. But God knows how many times it's happening and how many different cases. For someone who wants to abuse their power, such an easy card to play to say, I could send your whole family back. I could ruin your life, have you deported, and the life that you know as it exists today could end unless you do exactly what I tell you.
You know, oftentimes when we talk about immigration or undocumented immigrants in the United States, the conversation makes it seem as though the criminals are those without documentation. But a lot of times, because they're so vulnerable, they get taken advantage of. The ACLU did this extensive research and report into the treatment of unaccompanied minors that were detained in the United States. And they found numerous cases of neglect, denial of medical treatment. If you're an undocumented worker in the United States, of course, there are cases where you'll be underpaid and you will be abused and you can't do anything about it. There is no legal recourse, because if you go to the authorities, you could face deportation. And so let's talk about that part of it as well, because these oftentimes are the most vulnerable people in society who did escape their countries because of violence or terrible economic situations.
So good news, bad news at the end here. Sheriff's office says that they're going to give the mother a type of protected status during the criminal investigation that would prevent her from being deported. That's the good news. The bad news is they didn't say what happens after the investigation.
Right.
And so that's another reason, especially in the Trump era, where immigrants that are undocumented are really afraid to come forward and talk to the authorities, especially in non-sanctuary cities, because they know that they could be turned in right away. So it doesn't matter if you're right or you're wrong in a lot of cases. Now, here in this case, the local authorities are doing the best they can, and they're doing the right thing in protecting the family and protecting the girl, so great credit to them. But I literally don't know what's going to happen when the investigation is over, because this is what ICE does. ICE goes around and goes, okay, that's a public person we know is undocumented. I don't give a damn what happened to them. They're a target.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid of what's already happened, and I'm afraid of what's going to happen.
All right. Let's move on to other news. Donald Trump is capitalizing on the immigration issue in Germany, and he is apparently spreading some lies about the crime rate attributed to immigrants in the country. Now, in a recent tweet, he wrote the following: "The people of Germany are turning against their leadership as migration is rocking the already tenuous Berlin coalition. Crime in Germany is way up. Big mistake made all over Europe in allowing millions of people in who have so strongly and violently changed their culture." Now, if you look at the numbers, the actual data pertaining to crime in Germany, you'll notice that crime's actually at record lows. Official figures from last month show that the national crime rate fell 5% since last year in Germany, dropping to the lowest level since 1992. So also, the number of crimes committed by non-German individuals, these are the immigrants, fell 23%. Now, there was a slight increase in a specific type of criminal activity in Germany. 2.5% increase in anti-Semitic attacks, with 94% of them committed by far-right German nationals. In fact, 62% of, that's a different statistic. So yeah, most of the crime that's being committed right now, or the uptick in crime, is specifically related to far-right German nationals in the country.
But, okay. Yeah. Okay. Two things here. One is, when I saw the crime was down 5%, I said, "Well, look. To be fair, Merkel allowed over a million immigrants in 2015, so maybe there was a big spike up then, and then a little bit of a come down from that." No. Crime's the lowest it's been since 1992. That's a long, long time. So, what is this? As usual, a blatant, complete lie, not attached to even a nugget of truth. Where did Donald Trump get it from, by the way? As usual, it appears that Fox News did a segment on it with another right-wing pundit who was talking about, oh my God, Germany, they're in big trouble, their culture. So I'll get to that in a second, what that code word's for, although anyone can realize what it is. And the crime is up, and the people of Germany are so mad at Merkel, etc. And so Trump sees that and he's like, okay, that's it, perfect. And so now let's get to the second part, the racism, the clear, obvious racism. So Trump talking about how the culture of the immigrants has violently changed the culture of Germany. Well, where are the immigrants coming from? Africa and the Middle East, right? So now it's not true. So if it's not true, then why are you saying it? Because in his mind, the German culture is a good culture, because, by the way, the Germans would never be violent. Okay, let that sink in. Look, Germany right now is largely left-wing, very left-wing compared to us here in the United States. Wonderful, God bless, I got nothing wrong with it. But the idea that Germans could not possibly be violent or have a bad culture, I don't have to explain why that's preposterous. But the real problem is the brown people coming into Germany and ruining their culture. right?
Again,
with no facts whatsoever to back it up, other than your racism about their culture, which is actually a code word, obviously, for race and ethnicity. By the way, when Brian Kilmeade was talking about it on Fox News, the one that got Trump all worked up, he specifically said 1 million refugees coming in from the Middle East and Africa and Asia, and he talked about how the good people of Bavaria were standing up against it. Bavaria is actually a part of Germany, not all of Germany, but Bavaria sounds very, white, like, oh, Bavaria versus Africa and the Middle East, right?
Yep. Well, look, this type of messaging unfortunately works. And you start to feel so hopeless while, talking about the facts, because for a huge portion of the population, facts don't matter. What matters more is emotion and fear. And so even though we gave you the statistics, even though we showed you that crime caused by immigrants is actually at an all-time low, it dropped by 23%, the majority of Germans do not want more immigration. They do not want it. 62% of Germans want to turn away asylum seekers at the border. Now, look, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're all like those on the Trump camp. It could just be that Merkel did actually accept a lot of refugees. And so maybe the people of Germany feel like, okay, we're at capacity, we've taken in a lot of immigrants. But I do know that some portion of those people have bought into the fear-mongering that you hear from, the far right, including people like Trump.
The other thing is, look, people are reluctant to accept change. So when all of a sudden your country changes a little bit and its complexion changes a little bit, then maybe you get thrown off by it. You're a little scared by it. It takes you a little while to adjust. But you're not scared by the actual crime because it's down, not up. You're not scared of anything that's actually happening. It's like every once in a while in America, they'll pass laws against Sharia law in places like Oklahoma, as if there are any Muslims in Oklahoma, let alone the Muslims are going to take over Oklahoma and institute Muslim Sharia law, right? So are the Africans, the Middle East, and people from the Middle East that came to Germany taking over Germany in any substantial way? No, but when they come in, there is a little bit of a shock. Hey, Germany looks a little different. So I'm trying to cut the people as much of a break as possible because I get that change can seem scary or unsettling. Mm-hmm. But the guys who use it for propaganda and stoke the demagoguery mm-hmm. are the ones that I think are the real problems and issues here. And in the case of Trump, who, by the way, talks about his genes endlessly. I have really good genes. I have good genes, right? Some people have good genes and others don't, okay? I'm like a smart person. And
if that's what good genes look like, I want really bad genes.
I hear you on that, sister. But his view of the world is based on genetics. It's based on race. He's proven it over and over again in how he's treated Latinos, Muslims, and blacks in this country. And now he's putting that on Germany as well and making up facts to go along with it.
Yeah. By the way, Interior Minister Horst Seehofer is known as this anti-immigrant politician in Germany. And even he admitted that crime is at historic lows in Germany. It's kind of incredible. So
yeah. Facts are stubborn things.
They really are. All right. We got to take another break. But when we come back, unfortunately, we have to talk about Roger Stone. But you don't want to miss this story because it's unbelievable.
It's a hilarious lie.
Can we eat in here?
Once again, it's me, here at the Streamies. You people have thought that I was here to interview people. Instead, I was here to take it over for myself, my own agenda.
Congratulations on your award. Quick question, who's keeping it?
Well, we have a collective safe deposit box in Peoria, Illinois, that we will be putting it in.
You have to plan ahead.
She's gonna lay like this, You could hang your tank tops on it, and then I could put my coat on it.
Or maybe a towel.
I can hold your award. I'd be happy to do it. Okay, good. I'll just hold this real quick. Can you just get this for my mom? She has no idea the difference. This year also has been a pretty big year for you politically. You have sat down with, do you want to just name, Hillary Clinton?
Yes, our next president. Hashtag I'm with her.
Oh!
I'm just going to put that out there.
I mean, I already knew that, but I feel like it's powerful now. You just said it, you know?
I mean, come on. I'm actually going to Florida next week and knocking on doors and try to get all my fans. Make sure the millennials, you go out and you vote. It's very important.
What's next?
World domination.
Yes.
And stuff.
More matching tattoos with Grace.
Yes, exactly. But honestly, what's next is whatever I can do to be a positive light in this world is what I'm going to do. Did you ever think when you started making YouTube videos that you'd be holding an award?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah. An Oscar.
You're the first. Okay. Oh, right. Okay. You're the first person that said other people, they're like,
People always ask me that. Did you think you were going to have 10 million subscribers? Did you think you were going to be in a movie and all this stuff? And I say, yes, you have to believe in yourself ignorantly almost or arrogantly almost to the point where you have to believe in yourself when no one else does. So obviously I believed in myself.
Once again, I am here backstage. Thus far, no one has suspected that it's not really Grace. It's an imposter. Good.
So congratulations on winning Show of the Year. Did you expect this?
I was hoping. I was thinking they were going to be top three. I thought Good Mythical Morning might take it because they're a great show. They have a great audience. But I'm glad they didn't. Is that okay thing to say?
I'm glad they lost.
I mean, I'm glad I won. Mm-hmm. But also that they lost because that's the only way that I would have won.
Yeah, I've watched your videos since I was like a kid. I don't know if I was a kid, but for a while.
Yeah, dinosaur on YouTube now.
No, I didn't. I wasn't going to say that. And you're not. Okay. But hey, you've been doing good content for that long. That's what's awesome.
And also, if I'm a dinosaur, what's jank?
Whoever eats the most in 1 minute wins the title of best pie eater. On your marks. Get set. Go.
My name is Cassandra Hanks. I've been with TYT for 3 years. I am a video editor and a photographer. I edit The Main Show, Pop Trigger, sometimes Think Tank, and my favorite show, Murder with Friends.
Oh yeah, that's right, she said Murder with Friends.
Being their main photographer, I get to photograph and sometimes meet some of the celebrities that come through. Susan Sarandon was amazing because she brought her dog Penny. Meeting people like Joss Whedon and Quentin Tarantino as being some of the reasons why I got into filmmaking and photography was like a dream come true.
Young Turks, Cenk, and Anna with you guys. In order to talk to us during the show, you could use YouTube Super Chat or you could use Twitter. And on Twitter, you just put in hashtag TYT Live and then those tweets come to us. Danger Carlos Danger did that and he writes, and this makes me sick. I have no faith the Trump administration won't deport them before the trial anyway, referring to the case in Texas. We all know how much Trump bends over backwards for sexual predators. Given that he is one. I added that last part. Kara Curley says, we've all seen Don Jr. and Eric. Proof Trump doesn't have good genes.
That's a good point.
Yeah. He's obsessed with genetics, and he's talked about his German past before, too. Like, he thinks, I mean, don't say, hey, I have great genes because I'm German. How do you not know that's not a thing to say, right? And then now he's talking about how the people from Africa and the Middle East are ruining the good German culture.
I just can't deal with it anymore. Like, when is it going to end? I feel like he's been president for 3 decades. It's been the longest year and a half, 2 years, whatever. Like,
of all of our lives.
It's just every day it's like, oh, I didn't think it could get worse, but it can. That's amazing. Okay.
Right, and we move on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Speaking of which, brings us to the next story.
Yes. The Washington Post has reported some pretty crazy news about Roger Stone and how he had just
forgotten about the fact that during Trump's campaign for president, he had met with a Russian who had some dirt, or at least claimed to have some dirt, on Hillary Clinton and offered to sell it to him for millions of dollars. How could he possibly forget? I don't know. Now let's get to the details of the story. Apparently Roger Stone and Michael Caputo say they forgot to tell investigators about their contact with a Russian national who goes by the name Henry Greenberg, even though they say Greenberg offered to sell incriminating information to the Trump campaign for $2 million. Now, my favorite part of this whole story isn't just the fact that Roger Stone is pretending like he forgot this. It's what he had told this Russian national. Because remember, he wanted Trump to pay $2 million for this incriminating information, and Roger Stone told him, "You don't understand Donald Trump. He doesn't pay for anything."
That's awesome. You're right, Anna. I love that part too. What he could have added is, "You don't understand. He doesn't actually have any money." Okay. Yeah. We've been lying about it from day one. Billionaire. That's hilarious.
It's too funny.
Yeah. So, but the initial lie and the way that it was uncovered is great. So let's just get this right. Roger Stone doesn't remember having a meeting during the campaign with someone who asked for $2 million in order to give dirt on Hillary Clinton, whether they were Russian or not. Like, that just slipped his mind. Yes. And when asked about it, he's like, "Did I meet with any Russians?" And by the way, the guy in this story, he calls himself Henry Greenberg. He has an enormous Russian accent. Okay, that's okay. God bless, right? It's okay unless you're offering $2 million from Russia. Or to get money from the Trump organization in exchange for information that might have come from Russia. Mm-hmm. So, look, he didn't do the deal. So he's a slippery character. God knows if they'll get him on the lying, let alone the actual deal itself. So the deal itself, they probably won't get him on. So he didn't have to. But like Trump, it's in his nature. It's his MO to lie. That's what he does regularly. So he could have just come out and said, "Look, we didn't take the offer."
Right.
So, end of question, right? But he couldn't help himself. No, I don't remember it. And so how did they come to, go ahead.
I'm just dying to jump in. You're right, Cenk, because based on what we know so far, based on this investigation, it appears that Roger Stone did the right thing. Did not take this deal, did not pay the $2 million. There's no evidence indicating that Trump even knew about it. So why not just be forthcoming? Don't tell me that you forgot about it. You did not forget. You know that there's this giant investigation happening right now. And so why not come forward and be like, "Yo, this interaction occurred, but I was not interested and I walked away from it." Again, he said, "I flatly rejected his proposal in what was a 20-minute meeting and never mentioned it to Trump or the Trump campaign because the idea was so ludicrous." Now, how did he get caught? Well, special counsel Robert Mueller is, of course, doing this investigation. And through his investigation, he came across Michael Caputo's emails and text messages. And he came across a text message interaction between Caputo and Roger Stone. And so the terms of that meeting were clear in that text message exchange. So that's how Stone got caught lying, essentially. Apparently, he said that Caputo brought it to my attention, it having arisen in his interview with Mueller's team. Okay.
So that's basically an admission. I wasn't going to tell you until I found out that my co-conspirator had been asked about it by Mueller, and Mueller had the text. That's when I remembered that I had met with the guy and he asked for $2 million. Well, that's pretty convenient, I suppose, isn't it? So if you don't know Roger Stone, there's a documentary about him. I partly don't want to give the guy any oxygen. On the other hand, this snake has been released into the world by Donald Trump, and whether we like it or not.
He's commonly referred to as a dirty trickster.
Yes.
Right, which I don't think is harsh enough.
Yeah, he has a tattoo of Richard Nixon on the small of his back. I don't know who he wants to see that tattoo and under what context, but it's there. So to him, lying under oath, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, "Why would I tell you the truth? What am I, a sucker?" So I think that probably, my guess is, by his gut instinct was, "No, I didn't meet with any Russians. Nope, never." And one of the reasons he wouldn't want you to know, other than the fact that, hey, it begins a series of questions that he doesn't want to answer, is that He did have the meeting. He knew that the meeting, Caputo told him the meeting was, they're going to try to give you dirt on Hillary Clinton. He's like, well, that sounds like a good idea. The reason he didn't do the deal, which we're ironically giving him credit for here, is because Trump doesn't have any money. Mm-hmm. So he's like, me, Trump give you $2 million. He didn't give anybody anything, right? So that's not going to happen. And by the way, the other reason they didn't do the deal is because the information was nonspecific. So, and again, to be fair to Stone, and I can't believe I'm saying that, in the text, he told Caputo after the meeting, no, there was nothing interesting that came out of that meeting.
Yeah.
So they did not do the deal.
Also, if I remember the reporting correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, Roger Stone met with him, this Russian national, in 2016. And based on the reports that I read, he had left or stopped working for the Trump campaign in 2015.
That's right, but that's all official versus unofficial.
No, but that's relevant because, you know, if this is an investigation into, you know, Russian involvement in the elections, well, then if it's not part of Trump's campaign, does it matter if someone who's just supportive of Trump but not part of his campaign met with this Russian national?
Well, the person who's more relevant than Roger Stone here is Caputo because he is Trump campaign communication official. So he is definitely part of the campaign. He's the one who set up the meeting in the first place.
You're right.
Caputo also has partners linked to Russia. Mm-hmm. Yet another official that has connections to Russia that just wound up on Trump's campaign.
Yeah, and let me give you a broader view of the number of people who were in communication with Russians during the campaign. The new disclosure brings the total of Trump associates who had contacts with Russians during the 2016 campaign to at least 12. A dozen. At least a dozen people related to Trump's campaign had some communication with Russians. And that is unheard of in campaigns. This is not, like, friend, look, this has never really come up before. This is so unprecedented. So for those who might think, oh, yeah, this is the kind of stuff that happens all the time, right? No, it doesn't. This does not occur in campaigns.
Yes. So we'll see if they bust them for the preposterous lie of I forgot. And it'll be one of the many things that they investigate about Roger Stone. So Caputo is connected to the Trump campaign even at the time. I actually don't care that much about the other story that everybody makes a big deal out of Roger Stone communicating with WikiLeaks. I view WikiLeaks as an organization that largely does journalism, so people can communicate with them. And if you think, hey, they're being one-sided, okay, I hear you on that. And I'll let the investigators sort out whether there was anything wrong there or not. I care more about if there were stolen emails and Roger Stone somehow had connection to or had access to those emails before they became public. Somebody prints the emails publicly, whether it's the New York Times or WikiLeaks, that's a totally different story. If Stone had access to them before, and it appears, whether it's official or not, that he's going around trying to find dirt on Hillary Clinton for the Trump team throughout 2015 and 2016, well, that might be a different story. We'll let the investigators sort that out. But the one thing we know for sure is he didn't forget. That's ridiculous.
All right, one more break. When we come back, we will discuss who Republicans favor more, Kim Jong-un or Nancy Pelosi. And then gerrymandering, what's going on with that?
Thanks for watching what I hope was a lovely edition of the Young Turks. Now, you know that is two of the five segments that we do because that's free. We want to have you support independent media and come watch the whole show that we do every day. That's five segments overall, no ads at all. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Come become a member. Thanks for watching either way. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.